This is the Internet Marketing Lounge podcast with Peter Twist.
The Internet Marketing Lounge podcast.
Bringing marketers and great ideas together.
One of the biggest mistakes I made when I started marketing on the internet was to think that I'd make money overnight. I posted my messages on an FFA page and I also sent out some emails to save lists. Then I sat back and waited and waited and waited. Well, eventually I noticed that emails were coming in, but they weren't orders. They were similar messages from the people I'd sent emails to. Bill Myers once said that if you're desperate for money, don't try anything on the internet. For a few, success can be fast, but for many, it can take anything from 8 months to 8 years. Of course, you don't really know when you start to make money unless you've kept a note of how many hours you put in and exactly how much you've spent on training, materials and resources. Most successful people say that they do what they do because they enjoy it or it's a challenge. The money is actually a byproduct. Well, that's what I found when I examined the success of people on the internet. I found that there were two types. Ones who are really good at writing sales copy. They seem to earn money quickly, but not necessarily have long-term success. The others seem to enjoy helping people with resources and information. Their success was slower, but it lasted longer. The second group genuinely enjoyed helping others, and money came in as a result of that. Plus, they had a greater sense of achievement too. While the first group were only concerned with getting as many hits to their websites as possible, emailing thousands, placing ads in e-zines and so on, the second group concentrated on building up a relationship with the people on their mailing list, posting answers to problems on discussion boards, and writing articles for e-zines instead of posting ads. They also found that they didn't really need a big mailing list because the people on it were more receptive or warmer to their suggestions. Now, I reckon that not all of us are ace copywriters, so only a few of us fit into the first group. The rest of us are like the people in the second group. If you concentrate on helping people and making friends, you'll find that personal recommendations from them will be worth 100 ads. Do the work because you like it, not for the money. But I promise the money will follow. I've managed to get on the phone Jonathan Mizell, and I asked him to give me a couple of keys for successful internet marketing. Here's Jonathan.
And I want to say, Peter, that these keys are really successful in any business, especially a direct response marketing or selling business. But I tried to put the pencil to paper and come up with something, and I think I came up with some stuff that I probably haven't talked about before, but I'll go ahead and throw them out anyway.
Sure.
I think the most important thing, step one, is have a passion for what you do. Okay? It's not always easy. I mean, the times that I spent developing the products are difficult times. There are situations that require your attention that are less than ideal, that are not fun, that are not exciting. They're boring, tedious, like things like taxes, okay?
Yeah.
Things like regulatory work, things like computer crashes. If you don't love, ultimately, what you're doing, and for me, it's just teaching people. If I didn't love teaching people, I would have a very difficult time dealing with all the nonsense and the garbage and all the baggage of running a business.
Mm.
So really have a passion and learn to enjoy failure. And when you have a failure, think of it as a success. You've successfully identified one more thing that doesn't work. They said,
was it Thomas Edison, was it? Or?
Thomas Edison,
yeah.
I think it was, who tried to invent the light bulb 10,000
yeah.
times or something like that. And they said, Thomas Edison, you're crazy. You failed 10,000 times. He says, no. I've successfully identified 10,000 things that don't work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of funny, and you can joke about it, and it seems almost cliche, but he didn't really care about the successes. It was a learning process, a learning environment, and when he finally hit it, it was all worth it. I mean, everything just made sense. So, you know, just because you have a project, we like to compartmentalize everything we do into projects or campaigns. Just because a campaign or a project fails doesn't mean that your business is a failure or your business has failed. Your business is successfully identifying failures, if nothing else. And the second thing is, don't come up with a product first. I talk to so many people and they say, man, this is my product and I need to sell it. You know, how do we sell it? And the thing that's wrong with that is that people don't buy products. People buy solutions. They buy end results. They buy freedom from the pain that a particular thing causes them, or moving towards a passion that they want to achieve. And by focusing on the product, you really lose sight of the ultimate part of the puzzle, which is the customer. We always say identify your market first. And more than anything else, before you even develop the product, figure out how you're going to reach that market before you develop the product. Mm. Develop the plan to reach them. Set up your joint venture partners or your search engine partners or whoever people, whatever group of people it is that you plan to do business with, which is why you would never want to develop your product before you write your sales letter. You always write your sales letter first because it allows you to figure out the most exciting elements that you need to promise in the offer so you can make the product the very best product that it is. When we wrote the sales letter for Amazing Pop-Ups or for our rollout thing, I mean, those sales letters came before the actual products because we had to know what kind of promises to include in the products themselves in order to make the sales letters both accurate and exciting enough to actually create a buying order.
Mm.
And then the third thing is learn how to write copy or add copy or plan to hire someone who does. This is still a pretty much of a text-based medium. And, you know, anyone who says that they've got their ducks in a row because they've got an e-com system and a great designer has eliminated or forgotten the most important part of the process, which is you've got to have a salesperson, and that salesperson has to create a compelling sales piece to get the people to spend the money.
Mm.
And one of the things that we did is we just learned we're going to have to learn how to love ad copy. We went out and we bought a bunch of books and we studied it. And it took honestly, it took a few years to really figure it out. We were good salespeople, but you know, I didn't really have the knowledge to do it in print. But once you figure it out in print, now I feel like I could sell anything. Our next product isn't even internet marketing related. It's totally outside of the space, but I've got the formula inside my head that I know works.
Mm.
And this is critical. Learn how to use a calculator to figure out how much your visitors are worth so you can intelligently invest in advertising. There's a phrase we like to talk about. It's called metrics.
Mm.
Metrics are the numbers of your website, and they're specifically how much it costs to get someone to visit, and how much that person spends in aggregate when they're there, and how many clicks a day you get to your website, and what your click-through ratio is, and all these things that sound like boring or, you know, minutia actually of running a business are the very exciting parts. Because, look, I talked to a guy yesterday, and I said, we should get your conversion rate from 1% to 3%. I think we can probably do it based on the fact that you're not using a lot of these things. He said, we're going to do all that work to get the conversion rate only up 2%. And I said, no. When we go from 1% to 3%, we aren't going up 2%. We're going up 300%.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, you know, we're really, really able to impact response. And that's why when you start to study your numbers, you say, God, if I can squeeze an extra percentage here or an extra percentage there, or get the traffic for a couple of pennies less over there, we can really make a big profit. Number five, create an affiliate program or reseller system to take advantage of people who have traffic but they don't have products. There's a huge opportunity matching people up or just finding people who control a lot of traffic. Maybe they have a popular website and they can't pay their hosting bill right now. You know, they started like this site, and we used to be involved with this e-card site. They had to close their doors because they simply did not have the kind of traffic that would make them money, and they couldn't go out and find advertisers. Well, if they had thought about it a little bit more carefully, or someone who had a way to make money with that traffic had approached them, they would probably still be in business right now. And I can think of dozens and dozens of sites who we've talked to recently, and, you know, they're not concerned with getting 50% commission or, you know, which sales process is stronger. I mean, they just want to be able to make a few $100 to pay their hosting fee. And they have a lot of traffic. We hooked up with a guy a couple of months ago, and he gets 60,000 visitors a day to his MP3 site. And he was, I think, listed number 3 or number 4 in Yahoo. He hated Yahoo because they sent him all this traffic. And I said, why do you hate him? He said, because we get a bill every month for bandwidth, and I can't afford it. We're just a little link site. And I laughed and said, you get a lot of traffic, and you're mad for them sending you traffic? And he said, yeah. I said, your problem isn't too much traffic. You just don't know how to make money with it.
Yeah.
We hooked him up with an affiliate program, and, you know, the thing's breaking even right now. The next one is constantly test your offers to make sure you're generating the highest response. And then here's the most important thing, and this is a huge mistake that we have made in the past, in which I've sworn that we're not going to make it anymore. Plan to the very end. What do you want from the business? How long do you want to operate it? Do you want to sell it? Who do you want to sell it to? When do you want to sell it, and for how much? The new project that we're going into, we've got a plan, a 24-month plan on it, to sell it to, I won't tell you who because I can't let the cat out of the bag yet, but we've got a plan to sell it to one of 3 or 4 different companies for between $3 and $5 million. Am I going to do it? I don't know. I mean, I hope I will. But it's the first time I ever said, let's build a business to sell to one of these companies for X amount of dollars based on the kind of money that they pay for companies like we want to build. In other words, have the end in mind. So few people do that, and they take it way too far. And there's so many examples of business owners building successful businesses and then not getting out at the right time. You know, how often have you heard of a brilliant entrepreneur building a business and then actually having the intelligence and the experience to run it? Usually people who build businesses are not good managers. And it's and I don't know the real story of Richard Branson, but here's a good example of someone who's a brilliant business builder, and I'm not sure of this, but I would guess that he's probably got some pretty sharp managers out there. Yeah. He's not the manager. He's the leader. He's the guy who people look at, and, you know, they see him as the source of direction and the source of energy for the company.
Yeah.
But he's not the guy that does the day-to-day, you know, management. Now, maybe he is, but what we found is usually people who are good at one thing are not good at the other.
Yeah.
Yet, when you get into the situation where you're a great business builder, sometimes your ego gets in the way, and you don't think about what you really want to do. Now, I hooked up with a whole bunch of guys, and all they do, and they're in the Bay Area and in L.A., and all they do is build businesses and sell them to venture capital companies. And I said, you mean you think you're going to sell it before you even start it? And they said, oh, yeah, we know what we're looking to accomplish before we even go into it. And we, in some cases, have an agreement to sell the company for X number of dollars before we even start it, provided that it reaches this benchmark and this benchmark and this benchmark. So that's really what I picked up from working with people in the last year. That's my new lesson that I learned, is always have the end in mind, because really, it's not about launching new products. It's about going skiing, fishing.
And also, I think it's difficult for, like, I would class you as a creative person. I would class myself as being that as well. And when we talked about people who want security and jobs, it, from our point of view, it's difficult sometimes to imagine that. But no disrespect to the venture capitalists, but there are a lot of businesses out there who can't think of things to start up, can they? So they just want to kind of jump on the back of an existing business.
That's exactly right. And sometimes that works, and sometimes they're a little bit late. But they're, you know, if you just look at the mindset of someone, in the Kiyosaki book, The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, they say that business owners use words like cash flow. You look at the words that people use, and look in your own mind, and find out what kind of person you are. There's nothing wrong with being an employee, and frankly, there are a whole lot of people out there who have played it smart and have gotten, you know, rich, actually, being employees at the right time at the right place. If you use words like benefits, if you go into a job interview and you're thinking about benefits and the security and how long they've been in business and, you know, when you're going to get vested, then those are the kinds of things that employees think about. And if you go into a business thinking, well, how could I take this over and how can I improve sales and when can I become president, then that's the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Kiyosaki, and we've always felt the same way, is you should only take a job if you're going to learn something. Just earlier this year, I did some consulting for a company, and consulting of this nature was almost job-like because I had to be there 4 days a week.
Yeah.
But I didn't do it because, I mean, I got paid very well, but I didn't do it because of the money. I did it because there was something that they had that I wanted to learn that they did very well that I've never learned before. So you work with someone or you work for someone in order to learn something.
That, again, is seeing the end result, isn't it? You can kind of put up with, washing dishes or working in a kitchen for a year if you know what you're working towards.
That's exactly right. I mean, in this case, these guys were very high-end marketers, and they
I didn't mean you were working in a kitchen, by the way. Sorry.
Well, you know what I was doing? I was doing, ad copy production work, and I was doing campaign strategy and things like that, and I was paid very well for it. Which actually, sometimes campaign strategy, I'd rather be washing dishes, especially if it's for a business that, that's not a very good business and, they're not well organized and their advertising stinks. For us, it was like, okay, well, there's a skill that I want to learn, which was how to deal with these venture capital people and how to create a business strictly to sell. Not to grow, not to operate, strictly to sell. And these people had done it 4 times, and when they asked me if they could hire me to do this project, I said, sure. And in addition to the money, I wanted some tutelage, so to speak, on how they had sold their last company for $95 million. So, that to me was very exciting. They built a business, and 24 months later, they sold it for nearly $100 million.
Uh-huh.
And that's the secret I was looking to get.
Yeah.
Always think about what you want to accomplish. And if you are an employee and you move to Hawaii, maybe I'll hire you. Because we need good people over here.
That's right. Have yourself a great week's marketing. All the best. Bye-bye.
This is the Internet Marketing Lounge podcast with Peter Twist.
The Internet Marketing Lounge podcast.
Bringing marketers and great ideas together.